Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Scene opens. The Delamis Christian comes out of warp port of the planet of Celtec 4. This is a planet that is fairly industrialized. There are large mountains. There are a number of industrial works. They manufacture some things, but generally speaking, it's a big cities and settlements for the sake of big cities and settlements. They're not a lot of rural areas, per se. Simply put, there are places where people live, and there are places where people are not. Work there is more of a service-oriented business, but this is a frontier world that is out of major shipping lane, but on the way to other frontier colonies. It is a waypoint for lots of goods moving in and about, which is why they have a pretty established satellite and docking network within the system. Specifically over this colony, this is just where people who didn't make it in other industries landed, ended up. At one point in the Great Past, this was really thought to be a place on the up. They found a lot of dilithium in some of the larger asteroid fields and of other planet of the gas giants in the area. This was a place where people could live, basically commute, do work, come back to. As those mining operations died out, some folks were just left behind, and the promises of a well-oiled Federation machine seemed to have fallen flat on the people who remained in this system. There's always been a push and pull to maintain order, as Ocean will tell you. That push has basically not gotten them as far ahead as they would want. But here's where we are. As you pull up, you are hailed from the planet's security network. Delamis Christian, this is Governor Helot Sherhuth. On screen is a statuesque Andorian who presents in a feminine way, and her antennae are alert. As there are two Andorians on your senior staff, you will note that this individual is definitely alert and looking for information. Like, they are in a capture all details kind of mode. She's clearly on edge about something, and the two of you can easily and readily tell that.
Governor, Commander Sabine Tabor, it's a pleasure that you are able to reach out to me so quickly.
You mentioned a threat. Are you insinuating that we can't handle our own security matters? Our security teams have captured this criminal. We have brought this criminal to trial. We already have as much Starfleet involvement as we would like. Your judge advocate's office has sent us a judge to try this case. Your judge advocate has sent us a prosecutor to prosecute this case. And through negotiations, we were able to provide the accused with the advocate they wished, as opposed to some Starfleet lackey.
I have some additional information that you and your chief prosecutor may find interesting, but otherwise I'm here on a different and separate mission. So I would be happy to brief you with my first officer and my team, and then we can get about the rest of our job.
I believe that Starfleet should have sent me notification of any operations in my system.
We're pursuing a lead for another investigation that has brought us here in an unhappy coincidence. But this is not a secure channel. I am happy to beam down to your official designated coordinates.
You can certainly make sure you utilize the berth that was provided to you. Your own Starfleet personnel will have some protocols I'm sure they'll need to do. We'll provide coordinates once you've cleared Starfleet regulations.
Very good. Thank you, Governor.
Yes. And the screen goes blank. Glenn, you had a question?
Assuming I was present for this comms call?
Yes, you were.
Reading on the Governor based on initial conversation. Now, specifically, because while we do have technology that can detect Epsilon parasites, Najar's also scanning, looking for parasites, because when he attempted to read the Klingons, he knew immediately that they weren't Klingon.
And while Najar is doing that, I turn to Ocean and I go, are you acquainted with the Governor?
So I didn't get a chance to interject this, but I believe that Ocean would not have been on the bridge at this point, but he would have wanted to have been tapped into the communication. Just on the chance that I do have past history with this individual, and that it isn't necessarily a card that we want to play yet. But that's a great question. I don't recognize the name, so I don't think it's somebody that I'm familiar with.
No, this is not somebody you're familiar with. And even the family name doesn't ring specific bells, but honestly, you traveled in legal circles, law enforcement circles, and the other side of law enforcement, mm-hmm. as opposed to the political side of things. So
yep, that's fair.
This is a governor in a long line of governors. Governors don't last long in these jobs, at least not in your lifespan on this world. Governor might last 4 years, maybe 6 years, or even with a reelection, there's usually some kind of scandal that follows, and then they end up leaving office or being promoted to some other position or doing something
or
else.
Not, yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise you that you wouldn't know them, but it was a good tactic in case they were somebody that you knew.
We had the information on at least the name of the governor and the basic bio. They were not recognizable to you. You've never interacted with them unless there was some other pressing reason. I want no one to suspect that there's something wrong. So it would have been Alpha Shift plus the senior staff all where they are to not give any indication to anyone that we're worried about anything.
Okay, fair enough. Then I would have been on the bridge.
And I would have made the comment because we have already had that conversation about, do you know the governor prior to this?
Fair enough.
And Glenn, you were saying in regards to the conversation?
Empathic read on the governor during the conversation.
This is going to be a pretty easy challenge. It's only a one difficulty in this case. I forgot to take away the one momentum, so we are starting the scene with 4 momentum and 10 threat.
All right, with a difficulty of 1, I won't buy any extra dice. I'll just roll since we already have 4 momentum. And insight, security, up against a 15, and I have rolled 1 success, 1 failure.
Okay. She's agitated. She feels threatened by Starfleet, and she's not very happy in general with this turn of events.
But she does have normal emotions as expected for an Andorian.
Yes.
Cool. Once the call is cut, I will relay that information to the captain.
Like I said, politics is complicated. Comms, get me the Starfleet Security Division, please.
Absolutely. Starfleet Command, sir, or the local station?
The local station.
At once, sir. Sir, we have Planetary Substation 14 online, and we have Lieutenant Commander Janok of the Regional Security Command.
Very good. Put him on screen, please.
Absolutely. Station 14,
Is this the Dilamis Christian?
Commander Shinnok, this is Commander Tobor of the Dilamis Christian.
In front of you is a large olive-skinned Vulcan with no hair. He is seated at a desk, a screen, having a very close-up on him. Behind him, you see basically an industrial-style office. Everything is very metallic, grated floors, all of that kind of thing. There's dials. Everything looks as you would expect. He's wearing a lower deck-style uniform. Obviously, the mustard color. And he just simply says, Dilamis Christian, will you submit to standard scans as requested, not required, by the governor of the local planetary body?
Code word clearance for the day is Omicron Sigma Alpha 29. We're on a classified mission and will not be carrying classified equipment. We will not be dealing with any scans.
Understood, sir. And per protocol, information regarding said lack of scan will not be immediately made available to local authorities. Are there any requirements you have of local Starfleet security?
I would like your head of security to interface with my head of security regarding local conditions on the ground.
Would you like to do that over this channel or in person?
Prefer if they beamed on board.
Unfortunately, sir, I am not authorized to leave the station until relieved. We are a station of one.
Very good. Then I shall send my chief of security to you.
Excellent. I will prepare the transporter room. Anything else I can assist you with?
No, you've been most helpful.
Absolutely. Sir? Oh,
yes.
Per planetary recommendations, clearance must be provided as far as departure locations. No vehicles are to land on the planet without receiving security protocol. I would recommend, given what you've asked, that whichever shuttle you choose to take to the planet.
Oh, we're not beaming down? All right.
You could, or you could take a shuttle. And if you took a shuttle, we could scan that as per protocol.
Fair enough. We'll do it that way. Thank you for the suggestion. It was most helpful, Commander.
That is my job, sir.
Very good. Christian out.
Station 14 out.
Very good. Mr. Jar, if you'd be so kind, just go over and interface with Commander Shinnok, get an understanding of the local lay. Things I am most interested in are the, shall we say, the unincorporated areas of the planet where it would be most likely to set up a covert base of operations if we were planning to engage in an Epsilon incident.
To clarify, you're looking for something outside of the...
So there's settled areas and there's a lot of uninhabited areas of the planet, which is where I would set up my secret invasion base. So knowing how the smugglers do their thing, I want to use that as the starting point, because I highly doubt if there's a Epsilon installation on this planet, they're going to set up shop in the middle of the populated areas.
I was looking for the syndicate that we were after, and the species Epsilon confused me, so I'm with you now.
Oh, no, I don't care about the syndicate. Only in so much as they've got a subspace weapon that the Epsilon species wants.
Very good, sir.
And then Lieutenant Mulan, while I'm dealing with the governor, please plot a search pattern using all of our available shuttle resources and the Dilamis Christian from orbit to map the activities going on in the uninhabited ranges of the planets. Coordinate with Lieutenant Najjar after he returns to identify areas of higher probability and how to begin our scan sweeps from there.
Understood, sir.
I'll walk Najjar out down to his thing, and I'll point out some things that I knew about when I was there. If the security officer, it's unlikely a Vulcan would be involved in smuggling, but I give you one or two areas that if they neglect to mention them, that could be a red flag. Just priming you with some of the background information that I have, and it's about 10 years old, so take it with a grain of salt. The other thing that I would ask you on the way is, I looked at the roster of folks that you're going to be taking down to the surface. I'm wondering if I can appropriate Ensign Oluyemi Chak. Her skill set would be useful for me in the task that the commander has assigned to me.
Very well. And thank you for the information. Hopefully that will help me and my discussions.
Mr. Tenari, a moment, if you please.
Before you have your scene with Tenari, Lieutenant Najir, when you are headed over to the security station, will you be going unaccompanied or with at least one or more security personnel?
At least one.
And whom would you like to take with you?
I don't know.
Is any of your team read in on Deeper Epsilon events?
Negative.
Then
I should go.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. You get the notification. You beam over. While you're beaming over and getting to the security person's office, we're going to jump over to Tenari and Captain Tobin.
Yes, Captain.
I just had a thought, and I hate to pivot on you like this, but this actually may be easier than what we've been trying to do with Epsilon species. How quickly can you reconfigure our high-resolution sensors to detect the subspace ore that is the primary catalyst of this weapon system that had been stolen? I'm thinking if they need the ore, looking for the biology might be a needle in a haystack, but the ore might stand out like a glowing rock.
That probably would be easier, yes.
Of course, it might not be on planet yet, but...
I believe the advantage of that is, though, we can set up a standing scan for that.
Head on back down to engineering and see what you can do to reconfigure. I know we still have the sample of the ore we kept, so if you need to break that out, you have my authorization to do so.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you get to engineering and begin working on the task, and it's something that can be done fairly quickly. Difficulty is not all that much. It's a difficulty 2 task. However, there are some complications that can come along with that, so it is a complication factor of 2. How would you like to approach it?
All right. First of all, break out sample of the ore so that we can calibrate the sensors properly. And then set up a program within the computer using the sensors to basically look for the same subspace signal.
Okay.
And then once we do that, download that same program into the shuttles.
Okay.
So I think we should be able to detect this without any real hardware modifications, because we've been through all this before.
Absolutely. So your whole team is on the task. However, your enlisted person, First Class Lelet Dri, Betazoid, is the one who's primarily taking on the heavy lifting here along with you. And they're really good at this type of thing. They actually spent some time at a station that dealt with ore mining and properties of ores and such like that. Calibrating sensors for that type of work is something that they're particularly good at. And if you would be kind enough to make your rolls.
All right. I am once again going to spend a threat to get an extra dice because we've got the whole engineering crew on this. I believe this drops us down to a 1 difficulty. All right. Much better than last time. 2 successes.
Excellent. And Joe, what do you roll for the ship?
Sensors science? Sensors engineering?
I will go sensors science on this one.
All right. It's a 5, so that is a success, but not critical.
All right. So that is 3 total successes. That's 1 momentum, if I did my math right?
Actually, 2, because 2 momentum, because the
crew reduced it. We are at a max of 6, so you have 6 momentum versus 9 threat. You have successfully configured to scan for the ore itself, and you can do so at any point. We're going to flip over to the XO and Chief of Security as they successfully beam over to the station. It's a very small station. It's probably about as big as a Raven-class starship, so not much bigger than a Danube as far as size. It's a station that's, well, it's Delanus Christian size. It's a class 3 station, so there's not a lot here. It's got 5 decks, and 2 of those decks are uninhabited. They're basically space holders for modular bays that have not been filled in. So they have structural integrity. They have atmosphere, life support, but basically they're unused and inaccessible from the rest of the station because Starfleet has not opened up the thing to place in the modular pieces that would go in there and create bays and decks to be used. So basically a 4-deck station. The lower 2 decks are engineering and computer core, respectively, engineering being the bottom deck, with the power systems and reactors basically going from deck 4 to deck 3. Computer core is the remainder of deck 3 and a few offices and workstations there. Main engineering is on the deck 4 and all of the things that would go along with that. Deck 2 has a small shuttle bay, has workstations, some fabrication, industrial replicators, and industrial transporters. There's no secondary transporter room. So basically, you two come in this very industrialized area. There are lighting strips to point the way, and there is a small infirmary room. It's not a bay. There's not like even a bed. It's basically a room with a desk and some cabinets and some medical replicating technology so they can replicate some medicines and different things. And then there's emergency ops, which is another larger room, has a few different emergency tech things, escape pod, all that standard emergency gear that you see in those episodes where a shuttle goes down. This is where all that stuff would be stored, that type of thing. There's an armory room, which basically has 2 rifles, 2 phasers kind of thing. This is pretty standard for this small style station, but has the capacity to hold more because those lower 2 decks are not being used. It's actually missing stuff. And I actually described that weird. The decks with the engineering and computer core, they're on the bottom. It's the next 2 that are empty. Your turbo lifts go through the dead space kind of thing. Don't stop because there's nothing there. And then you've got that second deck, which has the industrial stuff I talked about. And the first deck has offices and crew quarters, which are not many. And then, of course, the operations center, which is basically their version of a bridge, which is probably the largest single room in the station. And you notice that they have some really nice security equipment as far as being able to scan the system and all of that. And it is certainly linked into a network of satellites around this world, around the few remaining mining worlds, and the system as a whole. So this is definitely the security hub for the system.
I know you mentioned that there has been efforts to improve this area and that I wasn't necessarily dealing with this level of the stuff when I was here.
Yep.
But does this seem like a significant upgrade?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Before, there was really no planetary eyes and ears. Basically, you showed up and the planet, if they had an issue, they were calling for help or they were using defense satellites, hopefully to sway things off. But resources stopped getting put to that because there were no resources to go after. So why bother to beef up? You beef up when you have something that pirates want.
Yeah.
Basically, nobody wants this place. And the pirates are already here. This is where they lay low. This is where they wait, and then they go other places to make deals. This is where pirates feel comfortable and at home. That's largely why things have been on that tipping point and what they're trying to root out. They're trying to basically not make this a haven for villainy.
Okay. It seems strange to Ocean, that's all.
Yep, and it is. This is a pretty big investment, but all of this is all Starfleet. It is not necessarily top flight, top of the line, but it's really decent stuff. Probably on a comparable tech level to what was being used just before the Dominion War. So it doesn't have a lot of the fancier new stuff. Certainly nothing from Voyager coming back. You won't find Neural Packs and whatnot, but they have some of the more advanced tech for eyeing odd things in the system. If this was employed in and around DS9, it would have been used to hunt down Maquis. This is that caliber of station. It's small, so it's unassuming. It has some good defensive capabilities. This does have the ability to launch photon torpedoes. It does have some phaser rays, and it has a pretty decent communications network. And like I said, it is connected with the eyes of this entire system. Every satellite in the system is monitored through here. And the lighting strips lead you to the turbo lift. There's a very mechanized voice. Turbo lift 4, please state your destination.
Deck 1, main ops.
As the turbo lift is going up, anything you guys want to talk about or plan as far as how you're going to approach the next pieces?
No, we're just making small talk. How's that new Hollow novel you've been working your way through kind of thing?
Excellent. You get to the top. It opens up into this area. Everything, almost like you'd expect it, is really immaculately kept. Mm-hmm. This part of the station seems to be much better kept than the more industrial areas you came through. And it's basically a simple hallway. This is in a round, so you come out of the turbo lift somewhere, actually dead center of this, and the hallway kind of circles around, but there's a straight spoke that kind of goes right ahead of you, up a slight ramp. And then there is a big door, and that's the command center.
We should be polite. So I will the door timer that would normally signify that someone's waiting for them.
It opens. And it is basically a wide kind of circular room. With you're above, it lowers down into the command center. There's basically several stations that monitor things. There's a lot of computer banks and what is a slew of Soon type androids, but not the sentient kind, that are just busy monitoring different stations. At a quick glance, each station, it represents one satellite. So you've got one Sunian android basically working 24/7 monitoring a satellite. And there are 28 of them in the room. In the center, there's a circular hub, which has holographic monitors that basically represent any one of the satellites. And there is the lieutenant commander sitting at his station. Gentlemen, welcome to Station 14.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Lambda 6, please take over Prime Station, sir. And one of the androids steps up from a station. While standing, hits a couple buttons. You see a new screen pop up in the center station. He walks over to assume the center seat. And the lieutenant commander walks towards a side door. Follow me. And what you see is a ready room. There is a small sandbox, but it's got like a transparent aluminum top to it, and the sand that's under it is very like a deep amberish red, and it can be rocky at points, but it seems to be almost manicured Zen garden style. And you see a lot of iconography of the Vulcan Science Academy, things of that nature. The lieutenant sits down behind a desk. Greetings.
So you're the only actual living soul on this station?
Why would I have need of any person that cannot function as highly as these entities? The androids that serve this station are far faster, far superior than most. Their desire to have a sentient in charge of things to report nuances is why I'm here. But essentially, this is an automated station with a single person controlling it.
Oh no, I understood that when you said it. It's just unusual for one person to be alone in space with no other living being to talk to. It can drive one a little bit.
I turned to him and I said, "You've never met many Vulcans, have you?"
I feel that your hypothesis is predicated on a belief that
I desire communication of a personal nature. I am perfectly capable of using the subspace network to deal with colleagues on various matters of scientific study, matters of a professional nature, and the few times when personal matters intrude on the serenity of work, I can do so by those means as well.
Well, actually, it was predicated on the basic need for all humanoid creatures to have companionship, though I do understand that the Vulcan psychology is emotionally stunted, isn't the right word, suppressed. It is still something that could be a concern. I'm sorry that you are here by yourself. You must get lonely, is all that I meant. But I also scan him as we're having this conversation to make sure.
I had a feeling you were doing that and putting out some triggers there just to gauge that reaction, as Najjar is wont to do. His response is a Vulcan level of annoyance, where he simply says, again, the need for companionship is emotional. Loneliness is emotional. These are not crosses, to borrow the human phrase, that I bear. You're going to have to roll. This is actually going to be a bit more difficult.
Of course.
Because we are talking about a Vulcan, so your challenge here is going to be at a 3.
Okay, I'll spend a threat to buy another die.
You do have 6 momentum if you
and
wish
to. And 2 momentum to buy an additional die.
Excellent.
3 there successes.
I was going to let you know there is an extended complication range of 1, so 19 or 20 will be a complication in this case, because Vulcans are also quite mentally disciplined, and this is a security officer, so he's somebody who has a good chance of determining that there's an attempt to get info from him.
Fair enough. I have 3 successes and a failure, but it is not a 19 or 20.
I was angling for it. You are successful in determining that he is clearly hiding something. He is very protected. He also appears to be waiting for something, conversationally. He's not waiting for something to happen, per se, but it looks like he's speaking in a way to get a window, almost like he's doing the same thing to you that you are doing to him in his way.
As they complete that part of the conversation, I'll ask them, you're aware that the commander indicated that we're under a matter of security and confidentiality. The mission itself is classified.
I
trust that anything that you tell us and that we share with you will be held in the strictest of confidence.
We are colleagues here. My records indicate you used to hold a security position.
Yes. It's been a while since I've been here.
And my records also indicate you are from this location.
One of the things that we are investigating here is a potential contagion. We do not know whether or not it has spread this far, but we are taking precautions. You will not mind if I... Can I hold up a tricorder, run a scan on you?
Of course you may do so.
Thank you. And I will run the tricorder over her, which would be looking for the biology or the brainwaves.
Okay. Difficulty is reduced by 1. Your challenge is a 2?
Yep. And this would be...
In this case, whatever ability you think applies based on what you're doing or asking, the other portion would be science and or medicine.
Okay. Those are the same for me. I would think it would be... Am I misinterpreting what control stands for? But I think that might be it.
So. Control would work in this case, yeah.
Okay. It's just one of my better ones, so I try not to default to it too much. I don't have an applicable focus. Wow. But I did roll 2 ones.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. And I said it was a 1 difficulty or 2 difficulty?
You said it was a difficulty 2. But 2? It was reduced by 1.
Which gives you 3, if I'm correct? So you have a bonus momentum to spend in this moment.
Okay. Then I will attempt to use it to gain more information. I don't know that she's hiding something. So I would probably look to see whether or not this is something that they had any level of concern about. Is it that it was an unusual request, or was it part of what she's, what they're, I keep saying she, because for some reason I saw the name as female at the very beginning, part of the thing that they were hiding.
So first, let me answer the primary question that your role addressed. No occurrence of the Epsilon species whatsoever. No indication of those brainwaves. Now to the secondary question that you're asking with your bonus momentum. To the question, is being scanned part of what they're trying to hide? Absolutely. There's something about them that they do not want recognized. And all you're able to pull from your scan is that there is something biochemically odd about the Vulcan before you.
Okay.
Perhaps they need to be random drug tested.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I'm wondering, if they're juicing to actually keep themselves up constantly or keep themselves sane. But I don't really care about that right now. So I will actually just check the notes. I will say to Najjar just one word, clean, and I will thank you.
Najjar nods.
You had information that you wanted to share with us.
Less than I wanted to share with you. It's just I am required to investigate any ship entering orbit and proposing to go planetside as part of the current protocols instituted by Starfleet JAG Corps in cooperation with the Judge Advocate's Liaison Office at Federation Headquarters. They want to catalog and make note of all traffic into and out of the Saltok system. I am required to conduct an interview, and as such, I am in the process of conducting said interview. Allow me to get my critical questions out of the way, and then you may ask me whatever it is you're here to ask me. One, your commanding officer, do you have the utmost confidence in their abilities and capabilities?
Yes.
Two, is your business, in addition to whatever your mission here is, of a personal nature?
My daughter and my father are both on this planet. I have interest in visiting with them, yes.
Three, will you be taking leave while you're planetside? Or will you be, how do they say, in uniform the entire length of your stay?
To be determined.
He pauses for a moment, reaches down, taps on the console with that particular answer, and then he turns his attention to Najjar. Question one, commanding officer, do you have the utmost confidence in their capabilities?
And this is a standard question on your interview process?
He hits a button and you see a list of three questions. Question one is always that question. Question two actually is worded in a way that's basically ask them why they're here. And then question three is up to the investigator.
And is there anything at the top of this that lists the protocol that it is? Form number, anything along those lines that Najjar can verify that this is an official list of questions from?
Okay. So the answer to your
first question in particular seems odd to be the first question that's asked in a security interview as we're approaching a planet.
As a matter of fact, there is, and it is incoming traffic protocol 4561. And it is a protocol that was instituted by Starfleet Intelligence in January of 2380, so about 6 months ago.
Okay, and after a moment, Najjar says, yes, I have complete faith in Commander Tobor.
Excellent. And in addition to the covert mission that brought your ship here, do you have any other plans for your stay?
Where, whatever my orders lead me to, but I have no personal interest in Saltak 4.
Your thoughts about the operation of a station such as this?
I think I made them clear based on my initial conversation with you. I don't feel that one person should be cloistered in a small can floating in space with nothing but synthetic life forms that aren't even at a sentient level for company. I think that could be very detrimental to the mental health of the single Starfleet officer left in those conditions, particularly without anybody else to relieve them, provide them leave to go down to the planet, or any of the things that most Starfleet personnel are capable of having simply by having someone come and relieve them.
Oh, there is another person assigned here. They're just on leave right now.
Oh, my apologies. You had stated that you were the only person assigned.
I'm the only person assigned today. Your captain's not very good at asking specific questions.
Particularly when dealing with peers within Starfleet. He shouldn't have to.
And this is just for my personal edification. You feel that one should take valuable time in every conversation to divulge anything and everything that may provide context versus holding any context to the question specifically asked of them?
No, because I don't deal in absolute black and whites. There are many shades of gray involved in every situation.
Ocean is amused by this conversation. Not to the point where I'm chuckling, but there is definitely a slight smirk on my face as I am watching the two of them have this conversation.
My personal inquiry is at an end. I do thank you for that. Back to the professional inquiry. A follow-up to my question about what you thought about this station. Starfleet has plans to roll out many stations of this nature. They're efficient. They do the job. If operated by adequate personnel with knowledge of whatever the task may be, systems at hand, and a working knowledge of cybernetic systems and such, this could be a great boon to our endeavors quadrant-wide. As a member of Starfleet Security, what are your thoughts regarding the efficacy of such an expansion to this pilot program?
As I know very little about your pilot program beyond the information that you have chosen slash deigned to provide me with, since I can't assume that you're going to provide me all information in a standard conversation, even when you're giving me a set of parameters to ask me a question by. That's a very difficult question to answer. I will, however, say that I think that people, even Vulcans, are fallible, and the operations involving an entire planet or system's security should never be left in the hands of a single individual.
Interesting. And then he hits another button, and then another document shows up, and he then says, I do apologize for the oddity of my questions. While it is a true statement that the basics of these questions are required by the treaty with the Saltec system when Starfleet agreed to take over external security matters for this system, the reality is I am pursuing formal doctorate work in a few different areas that require the use of some statistical analyses. Because of the sensitive nature of security work, it is not something that we can conduct in as wide a panel as possible. So I have utilized the third question in my protocols to facilitate my ability to further personal research in this matter. Call it a... How do you humans say it, even though it is clear that you are not entirely human, if I'm making my supposition correctly? Correct?
But astute?
Whim. Whim, yes.
I was going to suggest pet project.
I don't have pets. That is a sentiment. I do have alternative goals.
As Najjar has been sitting here observing this guy, and we're not talking about just his Betazoid ability to read, but also his criminal psychology and psychological training, and just overall skills as an investigator. Mm-hmm. Is there anything weird about this Vulcan, their mannerisms, the dilation of their eyes, i.e. drugs, anything recognizable that would give any indication of what's going on with them beyond what they're saying?
I'll give you an insight security challenge.
Okay.
And I will definitely call that a 4. This is going to be hard to figure.
Okay, you can have another threat and 2 more momentum.
Gimme. We're at 12. 12 threat to 4 momentum.
And that is 4 successes. 11, 11, 14, 13.
Dang it. All right. So no momentum is exchanged at this point. As best you can tell, he is not on any kind of drug or anything that is altering his state of consciousness in any way. But he is definitively asking pointed questions, and he is making assessments. It's in keeping with his statement about doing statistical analyses, but it was very clear that at a certain point in this group conversation, his focus turned entirely to you, Najar, and almost to the exclusion of Ocean. He's very interested in you. You'll even detect a slight, which is very hard for a Vulcan, change in their tone. He actually seems to be more amiably inclined to you after your specific questions, questioning both the validity of what he was doing as followed by the efficacy of this type of station. He really liked your answer, and he's very focused on you. And with that, he says, I am done here. If you submit a shuttle to be fully scanned, simply fly it out in front of our ventral scan range. We'll scan that. I can report that a descending vessel has been scanned. We don't need to worry about the Delamis Christian as it's a non-atmospheric vessel. And based on Starfleet protocol, you are not required to submit to anything else, but they will be happy that a vessel was scanned. It's better for their records that everything that comes into the system gets scanned.
Very well.
It has already been approved by the commander. I'm just curious. You mentioned that your colleague, I won't say partner, but the other crew on this station is on leave.
Yes.
Do you know where they had gone?
They were in transit to a Klingon station to visit with family who work on the ambassadorial team to that world. And they left booking passage on a Starfleet tug that is concluding their space trials.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Well, we have some specific questions for you in terms of the state of affairs down on the planet below.
I will be as helpful as possible.
Okay, and Najar relates what the captain is looking for, outlying non-civilized areas that would be ideal in terms of resources or location for staging some form of invasion, infiltration, or otherwise molestation of the civilized areas. Because Commander Ocean has not chosen to fully read this person into the Epsilon species. He's approaching it 100% from the perspective of a criminal element, not mentioning anything about.
His response is pretty straightforward. He mentions there are some abandoned settlements that completely failed in the last 10 years. Dothrak City. And there was a small communications relay base and scientific station that has been secured. It is operational. We do send a patrol to check it out on a monthly basis, but it has been secured. And then he brings that up on the station, and it looks like one of those square pillbox with a radio tower and a satellite dish on it. When I say in the middle of nowhere, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. It's an icy field with some sharp pointed rock outcroppings and mountainous regions. It's clear that there's a lot of water near here, so it's similar to what we imagine the North Pole or even part the coastal areas of Antarctica to be. but it's basically ice, a few icebergs that poke out, a lot of rock formation, so there's definitely land there, probably ancient dormant volcano type obsidian style rocks, and then there's a research station that's there, and they're definitely scientific research that did go on there, and that's really all that's out there. He basically shows you on the screen that station. He says, based on what you're looking for, that would be the most remote. It would have the best access to communication. It would also provide the most amount of security. And you literally see that in the center of this dormant volcano, there's almost like a mound where the station is in the center, and it's surrounded by the dormant volcano, and then the mountain goes up the side. So even from an aerial bombardment, unless you were in geosynchronous orbit directly over it, it would actually be hard to strike this station because it's protected on all sides. You can't see it laterally. It's within the volcano depression. It's caldera itself. The caldera is not huge, so it looks very small. The station itself is, it's probably as wide as a larger shuttle, not Danube style. It's a square, so the level that's above ground is probably 40 by 40 feet. And then it has multiple levels underneath. I think it's something like 10 levels below.
How much heat retention does the caldera create for that station? In such a cold climb, are the people there able to go outside? Is the ambient temperature of the facility easily maintained? Are they using geothermal heating from any old magma tubes below?
He looks at Ocean and he says, temperatures in this particular region of Saltec are actually sub-survivable, long-term survivable levels even for Andorians. While they will often make trips there to enjoy the sense of home, it is not even a place that's hospitable to them. As far as retained heat and geothermics, non-existent.
They call it Kagan's anus.
It's Najar smirks and glances at Ocean. I take it you're familiar.
I'm aware of the location, but never been there personally.
It's a station that is unmanned most of the time. It hasn't been used actively in at least 8 years.
So that piece right there makes it a little bit off of what I'm looking for. The temperature would make it very difficult for any kind of force to use that space simply because of the survivability. Looking for somewhere off the beaten path that's warmer that would provide similar benefits in case they needed to have personnel camped outside.
He points out that in regards to criminal elements, the criminal elements on Saltok make their money through violence, racketeering, by way of services rendered, protection rackets, trafficking of illicit goods, substances, and in some cases, personnel. The reality...
Richard raises one eyebrow at him and interrupts him and says, and what makes you think that we're looking into local criminal elements? Do you think a Federation starship came all this way just to look into your standard policing matters?
My guess is you're here because there's a big case. And if you're looking for those that would be willing to help the targets of such case escape, you're not going to find them in the wilderness. You'll find them in the bad districts. You'll find them in the warehouses on the outside of town.
Is it logical to apply your own prejudices and opinions to my question as opposed to simply answering them logically as they're asked?
I do believe I am doing both. You asked where all the places were, and you specifically said away from towns.
Let me rephrase. We are on a classified mission, which has already been made clear. We're investigating locations for a large group of insurgents to possibly make camp.
If you take a look and he hits something, it comes up on a map. Ocean, you're familiar with this particular part of the capital city. What is referred to as the Bad District is actually a mini city, almost like a borough of itself. It's roughly the size of Houston. You could hide a lot of wrongdoers there. Pick a building, any building. There are hangars that are the size of Narenda's station, as far as it, with an area. There are buildings 20 stories tall, 180 to 200 meters long, and another 180 or 200 meters or so wide that are simply barracks for criminal organizations. The syndicates field more, I believe the term is soldiers, Commander Ocean, is that correct? Than many of the traditional armies of Earthers past. There's large amounts of people on Saltaik.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. If I may suggest, continue your inquisitive nature. Follow that through.
You say it as though I have a choice to be anyone but myself.
He looks at you quite sternly and then says, a truism in the galaxy is every one of us is only the one of us we are.
That was more words to say what I just said. Well done.
Every one of us is only the one of us we are.
Spoken by a true Vulcan philosopher, I assume.
No. Are there any other questions of me?
Mishar glances at Ocean.
No. No.
Then...
Oh, just one. The current governor, how long have they been in place?
They were elected 3 years ago.
Any background that you have on them from an official record?
Minor political power, not of great note. Was in zoning, was part of the delegation to the Federation requesting security upgrades to the system, and has largely backed initiatives to improve the legal conditions here on Saltai, including the arrest in the last year and a half of nearly 200 different syndicate members from various groups. There have been limited success with prosecution because witnesses have consistently become unavailable.
I'm asking the GM, is the syndicate different than the Ebony Knox?
The syndicate is a general term for lots of criminal organizations, so there are several syndicates, plural. Ebony Knox is a syndicate.
But it's not the syndicate that he's referring to.
So she's overseeing the prosecution by way of being governor, 200 people from various syndicates. So some may or may not have been of Ebony Knox. Basically, she became the governor. Then there's a crackdown. And she was part of the team that led to getting more security personnel here. She used that success to become the governor. And now there's been a crackdown on these things that have resulted in what is now the highest profile syndicate case so far.
Got it.
With that, unless there's anything else, we are going to let you guys get back to the DC and end that scene.
Before we do.
Yes?
As soon as we arrive back. Najara would say something along the lines of, the communication relay station sounded like it might have been an ideal infiltration point for Epsilon if it weren't so cold, because they don't deal with the cold well.
I picked up on that too. Although, I'm wondering if it may not be worth dismissing entirely. The one possibility that I'm thinking of is whether or not Caldera is just the top of the volcano. I don't know much about geology, but it is possible that the interior is somehow warmer.
That's why I was trying to ask him about geothermal heat being used in the building's heating to determine whether or not inside they might have access to some.
I'm thinking further below.
It has a top layer, 4 levels above and 10 levels below ground.
Hmm.
Still worth investigating.
Yes, if only tangentially.
Indeed.
I'm curious, why do you think that there's a large group of people here?
I don't, per se. I was just trying to break his thought process so he would think outside the box.
I nodded that. Makes sense.
I have no idea how many species Epsilon insurgents, so to speak, there could be by this point, but if he continued to just operate from the perspective of his local syndicates, he wasn't going to be thinking of the types of areas that we were looking for.
Based on what you know, their numbers would be fairly limited at maximum. If everything found a host and they were successful, you're probably talking not much more than 20.
But how do they create new eggy things? And how long does that take? And
yeah, that's the part you don't know. But based on what you know got away, the maximum could be in the 20 range. And it's probably less than that. All right. So we end that scene. As I said, 3 momentum, 12 threat.
Next time on Star Trek Preservations.
So I figured we'd all take the same shuttle down and then go our separate ways once on the planet. Me and Najjar to the governor's office, and then Ocean and the other security team off into the sneaky underworld.
This one seems like a lot less fun than the last one.
Well, they can't all be a tropical paradise, Ensign.
And you exit the turbo lift. You're in the lobby. There is a secretary there. It is a Sunian android. And it is, of course, the non-sentient variety. She takes her sip, cap bottle, puts it back. Have a seat. Now we can be friends. If you're willing to take what I was giving you and give it back, then you are definitely Starfleet personnel I am willing to treat with. How can we actually be of help here on Salt Tech 4?